Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 1, we will read verses 26 through 38. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1458. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants. Listen. Amen. Luke 1:26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when Mary saw him, she was troubled at Gabriel's saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Remember this little ditty? First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes a baby carriage. Now, I've read that sometimes with traditional arranged marriages, the order might be slightly reordered. First comes marriage, then comes love, then comes a baby carriage. It is God, however, who really shuffles the order when God sends the angel Gabriel to bring a message to Mary. The baby carriage is bumped up in the order. Based on the culture of that community of faith at the time, we assume that Mary and Joseph had become betrothed by means of an arranged marriage between their fathers. While marriages were arranged, it was usually among families who knew one another. Fathers knew that they were entrusting their son or their daughter to enter into a relationship which would not only bind the couple to one another with God's blessings, but would bind the families. When we share loved ones with people, we become bound to them. I once remarked to my daughter-in-law's mother, "Anyone that I share a grandchild with is family." It is even more so when we're also bound in faith. While Scripture doesn't say, I myself like to think that Mary and Joseph not only distantly knew one another, but that they had been allowed time to talk and to get to know one another. However, it is safe to say that it was all still very fresh and the beginning of a covenant relationship which was to carry them through their married lives. Joseph and Mary were betrothed or pledged to be married. Now, at that time in Jewish Palestine, marriages had three stages. There was the arrangement. Now, this could take place when they were still a boy and a girl, or babies, children, young teens. It was entered into by the parents. In due time, the arrangement was ratified in a ceremony of betrothal with family members present. Bible teacher Ray Vanderlaan describes a beautiful custom through which many couples express their intent. The prospective bridegroom offered the prospective bride a cup of wine. Well, by taking the cup and drinking all of the wine, the woman accepted the man's offer of covenant marriage. We might look at it that before this agreement was between the fathers and the families. But with the betrothal, the couple were entering into a covenant of marriage with one another. It was looking into one another's eyes and saying, "I choose you and will be faithful to you." The betrothal normally lasted for a year. During this time, the couple were legally known as man and wife. Betrothal was so binding that it could in fact be broken only by divorce. At the end of the year, the marriage proper was carried out. The marriage proper was a ceremony in which the vows were exchanged. It was also a community wedding feast with the couple's family and friends celebrating with them. It was a joyous occasion when the groom and his groomsmen went to the bride's home to lead the awaiting bride and her bridesmaids to the wedding. I find it touching that when describing salvation, the prophet Isaiah used an illustration befitting a joyous wedding. Isaiah 61:10 reads, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Now, certainly there would have been varying degrees of finery based on a couple's financial means, but one would assume that they would want to wear their very best for their expectant bride or groom. At the time of today's scripture reading, Mary and Joseph are in their betrothal period. So Joseph is busy preparing a home for himself and Mary. More than likely, it was an extension unto his father's home. Mary is preparing her bridal attire as well as all the things that she will need to take with her to her new home. She would have been honing her domestic skills and perhaps keeping alive the starter bread that she will take with her from her family home, her birth home, to her new home with her groom. The scripture often leaves out details that we would like. For example, we aren't told Joseph or Mary's ages. If they were a typical Jewish couple of that time, Mary was around 16 and Joseph slightly older, as he would have been working towards providing for a wife and future children. Now, Mary is at home when the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Having come in, the angel said to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Mary was troubled at this greeting. And Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end." There's something about the human mind not only being able to process a certain amount of information at a time, especially when it's sudden, surprising, shocking, startling news. When something happens or we gain new information suddenly, the mind has a built-in reality check mechanism. Some of us participated on Friday on a reality check that's done with 8th graders of St. Clair County. It's a your money and your life kind of event. It's surprising for many how much money it actually takes to have your own home, car, food, clothes, and health care, not to mention that all-important entertainment. It's a reality check on the amount of money that's made at jobs. There's also that hard lesson as to the consequences that occur based on choices made. Now, some of that was a random passing out of cards that you had no choice over. His year my grandson went, he didn't fare so well with his luck of the draw. He had a low-paying job, 2 children, and a DUI traffic ticket. A reality check that you don't want that kind of life. Mary was given a lot of news to unpack about ancestors, a throne, a never-ending kingdom, and the favor of God. Her mind, however, focused on, "You will conceive and bring forth a son." She heard, "Mary, you are having a baby." Her mind did a logical reality check. "How can this be? I am not married." The angel answered Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." When God created this world, God put in place for living things to reproduce, to continue, to bring new life. God designed the way for a human baby to come from a father and a mother. What God put in place as a natural way, the usual way, doesn't mean that God can't do something different, something supernatural. We call that a miracle. The angel Gabriel told Mary that God's Holy Spirit would place within her womb the seed for the making of baby Jesus. Jesus would develop within her just as all babies develop within their mothers. And really, all babies are a miracle. Well, with it being a combination of God's Holy Spirit and Mary, the baby would be the Son of God. The baby would be both divine and human, fully human and fully God. Gabriel gave Mary additional good news, which would also serve as a sign for her. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Those words often serve as a promise of hope for us. Nothing is impossible for God. With God, all things are possible. If it is of God, God will bring it to pass. Now, Mary's mind has done a reality check. This mechanism allows our brain to adapt and recalibrate. Mary does so in a way which is astounding. I don't know about you, but it compels me to recalibrate my own faith. Some of our faith heroes have staggered with being in God's favor and the news of what God wants them to do. Remember in Exodus 3:11, from a burning bush that's not consumed, God called to Moses, "Come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Almost immediately, Moses starts backpedaling and stuttering, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh? I'm not even a good speaker." Finally, Moses considers, but then insists, "But you've got to tell me your name so I can say who sent me." And God said, "I am who I am." In the book of Judges, Gideon is threshing wheat. When this message comes to him, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." The angel tells Gideon that God wants him to lead the Israelites to defeat the Midianites who were oppressing them. They were stealing their wheat and other things. But Gabriel, he feels like anything but a mighty man of valor. So Gideon begins to want some signs that this is really from God. So the angel has Gideon to prepare a meal, on which the angel touches his staff to it and the meal is consumed. Gideon is then afraid he'll die, for he has seen face to face the angel of the Lord. But the angel assures Gideon, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Still, Gideon is not sure. He wants another sign. So he says to God, he said, "I'll lay out a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If in the morning there's dew only on the fleece and the ground is dry, then I shall know that God will save Israel." So the next morning the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. Still, Gideon says to God, "Don't be angry, but let me speak once more. This night let the fleece remain dry while there's dew on the ground." It was so. Finally, Gideon was convinced it was God. With our beloved Virgin Mary, she asked for no signs. She wavered not. She doubted not. She didn't seem to ponder, "What will my mother and father think? What will Joseph do? What will my friends and my synagogue family, what will they whisper? What about my wedding dress?" But Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Mary's reality changed. She was going to conceive and give birth to God's Son. She didn't know exactly how it was going to happen. She didn't know all that was going to happen. What Mary did know, and what Mary must have believed with all of her heart, that with God, nothing was impossible. She trusted that the angel Gabriel was sent by God and truly brought the message of God. She was willing to give her body, her soul, and her life for the Son of God. She's no longer troubled. She was when the angel first came into her, but her willingness brought a peace to her soul. Peace abounds within her spirit, and it will linger even after the angel departs from her. Sometimes circumstances will happen in our lives that are sudden. Sometimes God speaks in a way that we're surprised. We can pause and we can allow our minds and our hearts to recalibrate our reality, and our faith can become stronger. Peace will abound when we say, "Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Let us pray. Oh God, let us know your calling for us. Grant us your hope and your peace for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.